Praise God. There we go. All right, one quick verse from Philippians chapter 2. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Amen. If you don't mind, shake three people's hand and tell them, I won't complain. Amen. I won't complain. Yeah, I won't complain. And while I won't complain, I'm going to real quick dismiss the kids for children's church. Amen.
Amen.
You can dismiss the kids in the back. Your child is free to go to children's church back there where they will learn. But we're going to talk about that complaining today. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Complaining is a trip. It is a trip. There was a monk who took a vow of silence. This monk took a vow of silence. He said, you know what? I'm not going to talk. I'm going to join the monastery. I'm not going to talk. So after the first 10 years, his superiors called him into the office. And they wanted him to voice his thoughts after 10 years. So all the man replied was, food bag. Another 10 years went by. The man didn't say anything for another whole 10 years. He was quiet. So the superiors brought him in one more time and said, I want you to voice your thoughts. How do you feel? The man replied, bed hard. Another 10 years went by. This man took 30 years into his vow of silence. He wasn't talking. He came into the superior office again. He said, I want to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts. The man replied, I quit. His superior laughed. He said, it doesn't surprise me because all you've done since you've been here is complain. Yeah, that complaining will mess us up and cause our heart to be somewhere. So in the series, Everything Gives Thanks has been a fun ride so far. We started with First Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. And last week we talked about thanksgiving and how to enter his courts with praise and how to come into church and how to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But this week we're dealing with that complaining spirit that causes so much grief, that part of us that thrives on being negative. Yeah. That part of us is always looking for the bad in a situation instead of the good. The old scripture say like this, you ask them how they doing, you said, I'm all right. And even if I wasn't, complaining don't do me no good anyway, man. Amen. So we got to just go ahead and say, I'm all right, nevertheless, because it doesn't really matter. So when the Bible gives us this intelligence, we're in the book of Philippians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. And I'm going back a few verses. Y'all know me, I got to get used to verse by verse because we got to deal. We can't just start from verse 14 and jump to the whole text. So we're going to take a few looks back. Verse 5 of chapter 2. And in Philippians, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I got to stop right there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to be a Christian, it is imperative you have to give Christ your mind. It has to happen. This could be a problem why you can't get your breakthrough. This could be a problem why you can't get your blessing, because you got too much of your mind instead of Christ's mind. When I got Christ's mind, it's easy to be thankful and it's easy not to complain because I'm letting Christ lead me instead of my thoughts and my emotions. Look at somebody and tell me, you lose your mind. Yeah, that's the problem. You lose your mind. That's the problem right there. Romans chapter 12, I'm proving in the Bible, it says this, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So Paul drops this bomb in Romans, telling us that we ought to present our body as a living sacrifice to God, which is really your reasonable service, so which is really the least you can do. But then he trips us out. He says, check this out. Be ye transformed and not conformed. What's conform mean? Don't comply to the world's rules. Behave in a way that's acceptable. Not by the mass, be ye transformed. Y'all, I think y'all get what I'm saying. So go ahead, Lady Thomas, hit that transform real quick so they can maybe get an idea of what I'm saying. There we go. You can hit it in play. Praise God. The Bible says be transformed in the renewing of your mind. So I wanted to give y'all an image what it looks like to transform when you roll up on the scene and somebody thought you was one thing, but you was actually something else.
Amen.
When you roll up, they think you this, but you really that. And people that thought they knew you, you see how they shocked and amazed. And then when you really get transformed, God is so amazing because not only do he transform you and take you to being something different, but check this out. In the midst of my transforming, when Christ really get a hold of me and Christ really gets to hit my heart and really get, look at everybody around me transformed too. So it ain't just me who transformed. When I get to transforming, everybody gets to transforming around me. And they wonder how that happened. Mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. We can't trip off Christ. We gotta let him know he's trying to change our mind. And then verse 6 says this, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Woo, Jesus came into earth. He could have been king. He is King of Kings. He could have came down in a horse. 20 foes on his chariot, gold, blinged out. He King of Kings, could have came down any kind of way. But he chose to come what? As a bondservant. We talked about that last week. What is a bondservant? A bondservant is a person that is connected to the master. That I'm willing to do whatever the master says. So Jesus comes as a bondservant. Why? He comes as two witnesses. He comes to show us how to live for God and how to become a worshiper. Yeah, he shows us how to obey God, because all of us have disobeyed God. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus came to show us how to obey God and how to worship God. Amen. So that's where we're jumping off in the scripture where Paul is taking us. And then in verse 8 it says this, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself. I like that. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Check this out. Jesus came to earth and he humbled himself. He God. Why he need to humble himself? He God. He makes light out of nothing. He speaks and it happens. He heals the sick and makes the blind see. Why does he have to humble himself? It's a trip that Jesus got to be humble. And the nerve of us think we all got in the back of chips. And Jesus had to be humble. Yeah, some of us need to go listen to Kendrick Lamar every day and sit down and be humble. Yeah, every day sit down and be humble. You think you're doing too much. Because look, he humbled himself and came obedient until the point of death, until the cross. But how can I make that more clear consciously? Because Jesus could have complained. But he obeyed not to the, only to the point of death. Check this out. But he also obeyed through humiliation.
That's it.
People thought Jesus was crazy.
Yeah.
You who son? God?
Yeah.
You God's son. Your mama had a baby with God. You a nut. You a nutcase. Nobody, would you believe that if somebody came and told you that? No. So he had to deal with the humiliation. His brothers and sisters even thought he was crazy. No. Joseph, your daddy too. You over here tripping, but you can say what you want to say. We all got the same daddy. He your daddy too. Check it. Then he had to deal with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, putting a hit out on his life. He's supposed to be the representatives of God. He's supposed to be God's people. And they put a hit out on his life. Then he had to go and get what? Get whooped, get beat, and get spit on. Humiliation to know when somebody spit on us, we're going to call a corner. That ain't going to work. We're going to have some problems. Not the ground. We're going to have some problems. People spit on him. All that. And then he got beat to a pulp and then died to steal our redemption. So he humbled himself. Jesus had every right to complain, but the Bible says he never said a mumbling word. Ooh. See, God asked us to make a minimum sacrifice, and we still complain.
Yeah.
God said, honor your mother and father, your days will be long on earth. They get on my nerves. I can't stand my parents. Amen, somebody. God says, have no other gods before me. Worship me and the Lord only. Well, this God agrees with how I feel. This God agrees with my way of thinking and how I move and how I want to do. So I don't want to just worship you. I want to go roll with the God of this and the God of that. The God that agrees with me.
Wow.
Minimal sacrifice. God said, what? Bring all your tithes to the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Prove me wrong if I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God wants to pour you out a blessing. Minimum sacrifice. You give me 10, you keep the 90. I want you to feel me say that, you know what, God, that money ain't that important to me. I'd rather give it to you to show you my heart is real and I love you for real. That money ain't that important, because money can't save me, money can't keep me, and neither do you need it. It's just showing my heart. Bible says where your treasure is, check this out, where your heart will be also. So what I spend and do whatever I do on, that's where my heart is. That's where I spend it at. So God is trying to get our hearts. He wants us to give it to him, but he only really wants us to make minimum sacrifice. I know it's catchy right now, and everybody says, you know what, God's plan. Everybody says, Drake, follow God's plan. But you cannot follow God's plan without making no sacrifice, baby. You got to make some kind of sacrifice. If you're going to follow God's plan, or you're going to follow your own plan, then you can do whatever you want to do. But following God requires some kind of sacrifice. So in verse 9, it said this, therefore, God also highly exalted him, even his name was above every name. So in the midst of all this, God, Jesus humbled himself. God blessed him and did what? Exalt his name above all other names. This lets me know there is a blessing in obedience.
Yeah.
It is a blessing in being obedient. I'm trying to show you something. We're in a place where I'm not complaining about my life, and I'm being obedient to God. I'm being obedient. I'm not complaining. All your blessing coming. You better believe that and receive that. When I'm not complaining about life, I don't got all these ifs, ands, and whats, and complaining, upset, and I'm obeying God, out the blessing is coming. Maybe this make you feel the song writer said like this: I've had some good days, and I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all my good days outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. I just say thank you, Lord. All my good days outweigh my bad days. I know that can be true for everybody in here, because you're sitting in here today. Because you're smiling, you're clapping, your head is raised. All my good days. I had some bad days. Don't get it twisted. But my good days have outweighed it. So I won't complain. I don't have the right to complain. I don't need to complain, because God has been that good to me. It's a trip because God exalted Jesus to this spot. And it's a trip because he wasn't complaining. He humbled himself. And we see where God bought Jesus from. Jesus is our big bro. And God has bought him somewhere. So it's a trip because we always want somebody's glory a lot of the time, but we don't know their story. See, Jesus was exalted to the highest position ever. He had the right hand of God. He seated at the right hand of God. But look what all he had to endure to get there. Yeah. All that I had to endure to get to where I need to get to. So can I take a minute? I just want to speak in your life real quick and let you know that I remain humble. God said he would exalt you in due time. If I'm obedient, God's going to take me where I need to be. God's going to open up the doors that no man will close. God's going to show you unusual favor. God is going to do some things. I know you've been waiting and praying and hoping and waiting for that thing. But keep being obedient. Keep not complaining, having your heart ready and right for God. He gonna do what he said he gonna do. I believe it. That's why Jesus said, check this out. Whatever you ask in my name, I do. Somebody should have shouted like that. Whatsoever mean anything to me. Whatever you ask in my name, I do it. So Jesus got that much power. He's willing to give you whatever you ask. But don't trip, because people take that verse and let you run free. I'm not that pastor. No, baby, no. Next verse, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
So it rolls hand in hand. The obedience of loving him and keeping his commandments. Now I can ask for whatever I want and get what I need. Amen. The two and two slide together. So check this out. With being obedient, God doesn't have favorites, but obedience produces favor.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that. I know this to be true in my life. God doesn't have favors. God doesn't pick this one. This says, I'm going to do this one and do that one. I'm going to give this one. And no, baby. No. God loves us all. We all got individual gifts. And I'll put something special in every one of us, every person here.
Yes.
But the difference is from some and others is that they don't obey. Mm-hmm. And then you're mad at God.
Man, that's
good. How do I not obey but get mad at you? Obedience produces favor. So I got to give you a little something right here. I'm going to give you a little eschatology on you real quick. And that's the study of last things, which is a part of theology, which is the study of God and the concerns of judgment and death and humankind and our soul. So check this out, what Jesus did. This is what God said about Jesus in the sea. That at the name of Jesus, we saw that today, didn't we? Yeah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Wow. Yeah, yeah. I'm praying all week. Yes. I'm laboring all week through these scriptures, asking God, what do you want me to say to your people? What do you want me to do? Because I believe with all my heart that this is true, that every knee is going to bow at one point in time. Check this out. He said every knee is going to bow in heaven. That's angels. In earth, people. Under the earth, that's demons. Everything going to bow at the name of Jesus. So God is trying to let us know that he's real. That I don't care what you think that somebody being bad enough to do right now. Everybody going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. So as I was looking at that, God was dealing with me and tripping me out. Because he basically telling me that if I don't bow down and worship in this life, you're going to break my legs in the next.
Wow. That's good.
If I don't bow down right now where I got the opportunity to, he's going to make me bow down in the next life. If I don't open my mouth and confess him as Lord, he's going to take hold of that tongue. I ain't going to have no choice. He's going to be that awesome and that all that much in front of me that I got to say he's the Lord. So it tripped me out because you either pay now or you can pay later, but you're going to pay. Amen. God is real. He wants us to know that he is Lord and he is King. He won't take another thing being placed above him because he's that real. Let's look at verse 12. This is where it gets gooder and gooder, as the old school say. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Ah. Whenever you see therefore in the Bible when you're reading, you must ask yourself, what is it there for?
Yeah, that's good.
Remember that Bible study topic. When you see therefore, ask yourself, what is it there for? So you can see what it means. So he said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my absence, but not only in my presence, excuse me, but more in my absence. So when I'm around y'all, as Paul's talking as a pastor, an apostle, so when y'all around me, y'all smiling and loving God, I love to see y'all faces. I love to see y'all on fire for God and jumping for joy and high-fiving all these things. I love it, but I want you to praise him more in my absence and in my presence. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Pastor, New Rich Church, I love y'all. I love y'all. I promise I do. I love y'all singing up here. I love seeing y'all worship. I love giving y'all the word. I love all this. But I want y'all to do it more in my absence than in my presence. This is my prayer, that as much as you obey God when I'm around, you obey him more in my absence. God has stretched my heart to be a shepherd now. So as a pastor, it's like I love y'all kind of like my kids now. It's weird. It's the same feeling I feel for my kids now. I feel for God's people, that I love them and I want to see their best. You know, you want your kids to succeed and you love your kids. You want to push them and you want to do all these things. And as God began to deal with my heart, it's beginning to stretch. And it's where you have to grab his hands and just pull my heart apart. And I have to love people to get to where they need to be in God. Amen. So check this out. When you're a parent and you drop your kid off somewhere and you leave them there and give them money, whatever they're supposed to be, and they're with somebody else's presence. And you come back to get them, you get a report. Your child is awesome. Mm-hmm. Your child is so well behaved.
Yeah.
Your child is so well mannered. Yeah. How does that make you feel as a parent? Amen. You excited your chest out.
Yeah.
That's my baby. That's my daughter. That's my son. They have made me pleased. Same way I feel about y'all. Same way how God feels that when you obey even more in the absence, it makes you stick your chest out because you're excited, saying, you know what, they get it. God is doing that in their life. He's moving. And it blesses my heart and my soul, and I love it. And then look at what the Apostle Paul said. After that, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I love that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So Jesus did all the work by living a perfect life. Yeah. Then he died like a criminal for our sins. So Jesus did the work. We're not working for our own salvation. That's a gift from God. You're not working to be saved. That's not what he's talking about. If we can get it by working ourselves, we could boast in it. We could brag about it.
Yeah.
Because I did. And this is the proof. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So Paul was saying, look, when I'm saying work it out, I'm not saying you go work for it and earn your salvation. That's not what I mean. But make no mistake, to work means what? I have to be involved in my deliverance.
Amen.
Oh, that might hit you too, then. I have to be involved in my deliverance. I have to put some work in it. I can't sit there and make God to be this genie in the bottle. God was never a genie in the bottle. That's not how he operates. So let me help somebody today. Everybody know what LA Fitness is? Everybody know LA Fitness? Okay. LA Fitness has what? They have treadmills. They have ellipticals. They have Stairmasters. They have bench press. They have all these machines. They have all these weights. They have dumbbells. LA Fitness is a place that has all these things. And guess what? LA Fitness has paid the price for them things, for the machines. For every piece of equipment, they have paid the price and made it invested in what? In the well-being of us, that we would go in there and work out and help our bodies. I wish I had a witness in here. To get involved in that weight loss process, what? LA Fitness paid it all. They have what I need, but I got to go there. Not just go there and show up, but I got to go work. Man, y'all ain't helping me today. Jesus paid it all by living a perfect life. He did it all by dying for our sins. He did all the work. But if I'm going to let God move in my life, I got to go before the cross. I got to accept him as Lord and Savior. I got to repent for my sins. I got to get in his will, his way, and his word. And then that's how I work it out. When I pick up my word, Jesus wants us to work it out.
Amen.
We got to do something in the natural. Check this out, the end of that verse. I love this. We're not only working our own salvation, but with fear and trembling. Yeah, with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Fear and trembling. Let's look at fear. Fear in the Greek, the word is phobos, where we get our English word phobia. You're like arachnophobia, you're phobia, you're fearing something. So phobos is in the Greek, means to put in fear, fright, alarm, or exceedingly afraid. And then trembling means tremors, quaking with fear and severe trembling. So the fear of God that should come over us when we're working out our own salvation is really just honor for who he is and what his son did. It should cause me to consider the weights of my sin. Yeah. If I'm working it out, that means what? If I'm working out my salvation and I'm dealing with the weights of my sin, that means I should be getting stronger.
Yeah,
I don't know people that work out to get weaker. Amen. Like so often. So if I'm working out, I should be getting stronger in the spirit. See, I know some of y'all, I'm your first pastor, we get into this church and we're a body of believers and all these things. But if you stay around me, it's not crazy. I'm gonna believe that if you stay around me and keep coming and I keep giving you God's word and you keep working it out on your own in my absence, not just in my presence, you won't get stronger. That you're going to have a real encounter with Jesus sooner or later, and you're going to see your faith go to a whole other level. You're going to have a real encounter. You're going to see your love go to another level. And if you keep sticking around, God's going to do some amazing things. But you got to work, and I got to work too, baby. It got to be some work for us. Because faith without works is dead. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's look at verse 13. Excuse me. For it is good, there is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Yeah, I love that. It is God both to will and do for his good pleasure. Verse 13 is how God works, and I love it. While I'm working with God, he's working on me to both will and to do. See, some of the stuff we can do depending on how we were raised. See, some of us, our personality can determine how we are. I can be an extra nice person just to my personality, how God made me. That might be some of my gifts. I might be a nice person, but that don't mean I can love my enemies. Yeah. I might be so sweet, but that don't mean I can forgive people in my heart that have done me wrong, even though I might be a nice person. But when we start working on our own salvation, God begins to work in you to change your desires to do his will and his good pleasure. Okay. God is so dope. Let me see if I can have you see this thing. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. So once you start working it out, seeking him first, he begins to work on you, and you get to do his will and his good pleasure. Then Jesus said, all these things will be added unto you. So I seek him first, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these things get added to me. So God wants to add things to your life, but he has to make sure your motives is right.
Amen.
He got to make sure your desires are pure. Because then when they're pure and your motives are right, he's able to add those things because you want what he wants.
Amen.
To do his will and his good pleasure.
Amen.
Yeah, I appreciate better y'all responding, but it's all good. Y'all get it, y'all catch it. His will and his good pleasure. He's trying to help y'all out. So God wants us to grow in him, because then once we ask, why he said, whatever you ask according to my will, I give it to you.
Amen.
Because truth be told, a lot of us ain't nothing wrong asking for money. I'm not that. People sometimes think we're too religious. We need money to live on earth. And God, you might need some money or a need or something like that, or want a lot of money. But the thing is, if God gave you that right now with your current heart state, would it help you or would it kill you?
Yeah.
Amen.
If you had enough money in the bank to do everything you had in your heart right now, would it help you or would it kill you? So that's why God ain't gave us a lot of things we want so bad, because he needs to do his will and his pleasure, not our desire and our motive. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God's trying to help us do today. Amen. So check this out. I love this. Back where we started at the beginning of verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. When we think about complaining and disputing, remember, Christ is our measuring stick. We're not our measuring stick. Our brothers, our neighbors. Jesus is the measuring stick. God is the measuring stick. So Paul tells us to do all things without complaining and disputing. And think about this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, has been beaten for Christ, has been forgotten, forsaken by his friends, has been locked up in jail. He's going through some issues. He ain't sitting on a house on a hill eating grapes and somebody feeding them to him. No, Paul going through some issues, and he's still writing, do everything without complaining and disputing, because Christ is the measuring stick. So look at this real quick. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it says, "For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." Yeah, I hope this sober some of us up. Because the majority of a lot of the problems we had, we caused them.
Yeah.
A lot of them, not all of them. The devil could have tricked somebody and let somebody hurt you and abuse you or whatever case. Like, that's the devil setting some stuff in motion that might have messed up your life. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about us when we pick who we have kids by and pick who we get into relationships with and pick what kind of job we want to do, or pick that we don't want to go to school to further our education. We want to go party and hang, whatever we choose. A lot of stuff, we choose the problems that we have.
Amen.
And look what it says, but consider him who endures such hostility against himself from sinners. He said, don't become weary in your soul, because most of the time the problems we cause, it ain't sinners rising up against us. We in problems because we didn't do too much, and now we need help getting out of them. But then he says, you have not resisted to bloodshed and striving against sin. Ooh. The reason I can do things without murmuring and complaining, because all that I put Jesus through with my saved, cute, sanctified, handsome self, all the things I've done here, he endured it to death, and he didn't complain.
Amen.
All the things I've done wrong, that he had to wait on him, got so bad, what? That he said, God, God, why have you forsaken me? He rode with God. He had never been away from God, because our sins put so much weight on him. It separated him and God for a minute. And he didn't complain. What did he say? Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. So do I really have the right to complain about anything? When Jesus had hostility, check this out. It said, you have not resisted bloodshed and striving against sin. So I'm thinking about all the things in my life, trying to get free from sin. It ain't never caused me no bloodshed. It ain't never caused me nobody trying to kill me, trying to get out of sin. It might have caused me a little heartache, a little pain, but not death. So in the grand scheme, I really don't have any reason or right to complain about anything, because Jesus went through it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Check this out. Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless. This is the reason he wants us not to complain. Check this out. Don't miss that. That you become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Look at the fruit of complaining. Let's see, once we stop complaining, that's what happens in our life. We become blameless and harmless children of God. Yeah. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. There's nothing worse than a Christian that always complains. Yeah, some of y'all met some of them, I see, huh? Yeah, I felt that up here. A Christian that complains about everything is the most craziest thing. And you making God so unattractive. And God ain't got nothing to do with your complaining. You didn't make God look bad. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. This wrong. This wrong. This wrong. This wrong. This wrong. The person probably looking at you like, where your faith?
Amen.
Well,
and don't you believe in the stuff you read? Don't you believe in the God you pray to?
Amen.
But you always complaining. If he's so good, why you got so much to complain about? Jesus. So the purpose of New Creation Church and everybody of believers in the world is what? That you shine as lights in the world. I preach every day we live. And that was not to be cute, it was a catchy title, but no. So we know that every day we live, that our lights need to be shining. Everywhere we go, people need to see us and say that God is real. If I'm on nothing else, I believe that God is real because of you. So we got to let our light shine. Because this world right now is in a dark place. We see all the issues. We see the racism, the prejudice. We see the drugs, the murders. This world is in a dark place, and only the children of light can brighten it back up. So, Pastor George, how do I not become this person that complains all the time? I don't want to be this person that brings darkness into my generation. I want to be that Christian that always complaining. What do I need to do? I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. Check this out. Verse 16, we almost done this thing. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. It's my last illustration. Check this out. There was a group of four friends that went fishing. So they were NFL players. This happened on February 28th, true story, 2009. The men were Marquise Cooper, Corey Smith, William Bleakley, and Nick Schuler. While on this excursion, they were on a 21-foot boat. Somebody had a 21-foot boat, a nice boat. They went fishing out to have a good time. And what happened is the boat capsized. It flipped over. So the boat flipped over. All the men were thrown in the water. And as they were in those frigid waters, they were all able to grab life jackets. So they put their life jackets on. So all the men are now in life jackets in this freezing ocean, holding on to the boat, all four men. One of the men freaked out. He said, my life jacket's too tight. I don't like how this is feeling. They've been in the water for hours. So hypothermia is probably starting to set in. So he's tripping, like, this is too tight. I gotta take it off. Takes off his life jacket. Man goes away, floats away. Another guy says, you know what, he gets unruly, he starts throwing punches, and he's going off, he's upset, he's mad, hypothermia is setting in, he don't know what to do, so he takes off his life jacket and dives underwater, never see him again. So now there's just two men left on the boat, and the last two men, one of the men thought he saw land or a light in the distance. It's almost nearly 2 days now, they've been holding on to this boat in this freezing water with the life jackets on, and one man thought he saw some light. Or he saw some land, so he said, you know what, I'm going to swim to it. Bro, like, I don't think that's a good idea. We in the ocean. I don't think you should swim. I don't see it. You say you see something, I see it. He begins to swim to what he thinks is light or land. But he feels his life jacket is weighing him down. Takes off his life jacket. Gone, never to be seen again. Nick Schuler, the lone survivor, when they finally found him in the ocean, had held onto the boat for almost 48 hours, suffering from hypothermia. And they asked him, how did he survive? He said, because I held on to the boat. Then verse 16 says this, holding fast to the word of life. Amen. Let me show you. When I hold fast to the word of life, because life's a trip, it's going to be people that think they got a better way and a better option. And they're going to take off their life vest, which is Christ. And the world are swifty in the tide to take them away and get them on out of here.
Amen.
It's going to be people that think they see land or a light, which is an illusion from the enemy. The Bible calls him the God of this world who appears as an angel of light. They thought they saw light. They thought they seen something good that way. And they're going to swim that way and the world going to take them off. But I just believe you crazy enough to stand and hold on to that boat.
Amen.
If you stand and hold on to Christ. You hold on, if my job fired me, I'm still gonna hold on. If my husband tripping, I'm still gonna hold on. If my girl cheat, I'm still gonna hold on. If I ain't got the money in my pocket, I'm still gonna hold on. If I hold on and don't complain and don't trip and hold on to God's unchanging hand, hold fast in that word of life, and God will help you and God will keep you. And then you will know that I didn't labor in vain. That all my work meant something when I get to see him face to face. But I give the praise His holy and righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give God some praise in this place.
Yes.
Give God some praise. He's been good, kind. Give Him some praise in this place. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. Oh God, we thank you, oh God. We've been in this series, oh God, of being thankful. We come to saying thank you. I pray, oh God, that someone's heart, oh God, was able to see how good you've been to them, oh God. How much you love them. And not only that, how much they have to be thankful for. So I pray, oh God, today, oh God, you have your way, Father God. You know what your people stand in the need of, oh God. But I know this thing, oh God, you came to save those who were lost. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who were healthy. Healthy people don't need a physician. I come for those who are sick, those who need to be saved, those that are hurting, those that are broken. So if you know you need the Savior, quit playing. If you know I need to be saved, God is there. He's waiting. He says, do not harden your heart today. You hear my voice. Don't harden your heart. This is what the enemy does. He wants us all to believe sometimes that we got more time. I'm going to share a little story with you. It was a meeting in hell. The devil and all his imps had a meeting. And they sat down and said, what can we do to get mankind to go to hell? What can we do to keep them from coming to heaven? One of them said, you know what? We're going to tell people don't believe in God. God's not real. And that should keep them away from God. And the devil said, you know what? That's not going to work. Because the book of Psalms says a fool has already said in his heart there is no God. So they can read that and see that's going to mess them up. He said, okay, I got a plan. How about we bring a lot of sickness, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain in the world? That'll make people turn their back on God. And the devil said, you know what? I thought that was a good idea. I tried it with Job. I put all kind of hurt, kind of pain. I killed his children. I put boils on his body. I took all he had. And you know what Job had the nerve to say? That the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still praised God, even though I messed up his whole life. So that ain't going to work. So the one enemy, one little demon said, you know what? I got it. I know what the answer is. Tell them this. They got more time. Yeah. Tell them they'll wait till next time to give their lives to Christ. Tell them they'll wait till next time to get saved. Because as long as you think there's a next time, because at one point, sometime, there won't be a next time. It'll be your last time. So don't let the enemy trick you. If you know you need Jesus, if you know you need to be saved, you need to give your heart to Christ. Let today be your day. Get reconnected. Maybe you are saved, but you've been out of the loop of God. You may have a church home. You've been going to and fro. Let today be your day. Be reconnected with God's church. God loves you, and he cares for you. He wants to do amazing things in your life. God wants to do more exceedingly and abundantly, more than you can think or ask. I believe that with all my heart. But you got to give him your heart. God, I can prepare the table for you. I can put out the Thanksgiving dinner. I can put the dressing, the turkey, the greens, the ham, yam. I can put it all out. And you can come to the table. But till you pick up that fork and put that food in your mouth, you got to pick up the fork. You got to work it out. That's our job as believers. We got to do some work too. So if you know you need Jesus, if you know you need a Savior, if you know you need a church home, let today be your day. We love you. We care for you. We want to see God's best in your life. I don't stretch this time out, but I just leave it on my heart. If I came into church feeling bad, I shouldn't come back out feeling the same way. Hallelujah. I give you guys some praise. Amen. Y'all too quiet for me. I give you guys some praise in this place. Give God some praise in this place. The Bible says that the heavens rejoice over one. He don't even care about the 99. He rejoiced that one come home to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give God some praise in this place. God wants to do something amazing in your life. God wants to transform you. That when people see you, they don't even know who you are no more. They recognize you physically, but don't know who you are spiritually. That God has done a 180 in my life. A 360, I ain't going back. He's done a 180 in my life. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. For anybody else, let today be your day. You're giving us your hand, but God's getting your heart. God is getting your heart. If anybody else, just say, well, let today be the day that I need your God, that I need a Savior in my life. That I need a Savior in my life. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let God have his way. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't believe in stretching this out, but I do believe your salvation is important than anything else for God. That God loves souls. He loves his kids. He loves his children. So was anybody else? And today be your day. I need to be saved. I need to rededicate my life to Christ. I've been out the will of God too long. I've been making my own decisions. I've been doing my own thing too long. Today be the day I made up my mind and my heart to follow Christ. To stop complaining and start trusting. See, when we get to that complaining spirit, it eliminates our ability to trust God. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. There is none like you, oh God. There is none. Hallelujah. There is none like you. Praise God. Come, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let today be your day. No, like I said, don't want to stretch it out, but don't want to rush God. Let today be your day. God loves you. He cares for you. God loves you more than any person in this world. He knew us. He created us. He knew us in our mother's womb. He loves you. It was the enemy that tricked us out of his will and out of his way and out of his word. Anybody else that want to make a decision for Christ today, let today be your day. Let today be your day. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, today. We thank you, oh God. God cares for you in such a special way. Wherever you stand in need of, he's there. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Yes, Lord, our hearts are filled with praise, not complaining, not murmuring. Our hearts are filled with praise. I know life ain't perfect at all times. I know it's issues. Believe that me and Lady Thomas have had our fair share of issues in life. Fair share of issues, unexpected issues. A lot of y'all know our testimony. Woke up in the morning, our baby wasn't breathing. Unexpected issues. But that's part of our testimony for me to still testify that God is still good. In the midst of it. And I could complain about my daughter going home in 7 months. He gave me 7 months with her. Some people don't get that. You better learn to be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. You can always find a reason to be thankful. Even in the worst or worst of situations, you can always find a reason to be thankful. So I've learned in my life, it could always be worse. You think you hit rock bottom until you meet somebody that's at rock bottom. Yeah. You think you hit until you meet somebody and those issues you thought were so bad don't really seem that bad no more. Thanks to God to praise for what he's doing out here. Give God to praise. I'm going to, we have two people that want to join. Today, praise God. And someone that wants to know God as well. So we thank God for what he's doing. We're going to meet with those of you in the back real quick. After service for new creation, give God a praise for your new family. Feel like family anyway. already family anyway, but definitely, we thank you, we appreciate you having the courage. I know it ain't easy. It ain't easy admitting that we a sinner. Amen. That I got flaws. That I got issues. And I need God to help me. It's not always easy to admit that. But when you admit it, that's when we can find true freedom. We can realize that God did something for my issues. He said his only begotten son. I'm trying to preach to him, trying to make me go there, so I'm about to sit on down. Praise God. But I'm thankful for what he's doing in my life. So those, we'll meet you real quick after service. That's you got a praise for you all coming. Thank you for being here today. Hope you enjoyed yourself. You all got something from service today. As we get ready to move on, we're about to get ready to do our tithes and offering. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It is time for our giving. Hopefully you all have gotten an envelope. If you did not get an envelope, please raise your hands. One of our ushers will get you one if you did not get an envelope. And then if you do need to swipe or use credit or debit, Lady Thomas will help you outside. As soon as she's done praying, Lady Thomas will help you if you need to use credit or debit outside. And our ushers will be around with our envelopes.